Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing, and today I'm joined by Marcus Tober, CTO at CertMetrics. How are you, Marcus?
I'm good, Annie. I'm good. What about you?
I'm very well. Thanks for asking. Not many of my guests ask, actually. I'm absolutely fine, despite having a horrible cold over Christmas. So let's start off then. Marcus, tell us a bit about yourself and CertMetrics.
Yeah, CertMetrics is now a little bit more than 10 years old. I founded the company out of my computer science kind of study. We always kind of put a lot of attention on search and analyzing search. That's why we came with the name CertMetrics, obviously. That wasn't our first name, so we started as SEO Solutions, but that maybe was a little bit too narrow on SEO only. And yeah, what about me? I mean, I studied computer science. I'm more like the data nerd geek. I'm responsible for the everything about the product within CertMetrics. It's about 100 people that work in development and on the product. So that's about me.
And where are you based, Marcus? Is it Berlin?
Yes, of course. Yes, so the company that is headquartered in Berlin. So here we have the development and the product management, but we also have nice offices in London, New York, and in the Silicon Valley. But I mean, as you can understand, there we have mostly marketing and customer support, customer success functions.
Marcus, wanted to talk about sort of, I suppose a good title is the sort of marriage of content marketing and search. How has search evolved over the last decade? Would you say? I know it's evolved tremendously, but what are some of the most notable things that have happened with search, would you say, over the last decade?
So I think it's very complicated to just give a quick answer, because I think the thing that you have to mention first is that the diversity of search has exponentially increased in the last year. So, I mean, if you just say it in the last decade, you can say, okay, till 3 years ago, it was almost the same. I mean, of course, it changed a little bit, and Google changed their layout, and then you had more universal search integrations, and then there came the knowledge graph in 2010 and all that stuff. But when Google released Hummingbird first 3 years ago, and then Google kind of invested much more in machine and deep learning, and the rise of mobile searches is kind of also, I mean, pretty new in, I mean, more or less. Now mobile search is much more than desktop search. But this, I think, has significantly impacted search technology, that search technology now needs to understand, okay, why is content more successful, or pages? And also, if you look at websites, I mean, now with the new popular frameworks like AngularJS and React, also websites are easier to build, but at the same time, much more complicated to crawl. So it's incredible. So that means that search technology has kind of spread out. We have a lot of crawling technology tools now that only do care about, is a website kind of okay from the technical point of view? Then we still have a lot of like ranking tools, smaller ranking tools, because it's important still to understand how is my performance, especially across all these channels. Yeah. And then we have these platforms, right? These platforms that try to bring all these data points together to give you more conclusions out of what's going to happen. And this is where CertMetrics is based, and more in this kind of platform play, because we do a lot of all the other things. Maybe we're not the best in all these kind of different areas. Maybe we don't have the best crawler or the best backlink database or the best rankings, but all of them together, I think this is where people get the most actionable insights out of it.
Now, this notion of like sort of doing your research and getting some real sort of search insights around Google and how people are searching for various content markets. How can that sort of help our content to stand out from the sort of huge amount of, you know, often unhelpful sort of content that gets published online?
I mean, I think you don't need to reinvent the wheel all the time, right? Because when you look at search results, you can see why are some pages more important when you just look at, okay, who's ranking? And if you also take a look on for which other topics this page is also pretty successful. Just, I mean, if you take a random example, like from the recipe space, how to make pasta.
Yeah.
Very likely you will find pages that also have a good ranking for make pasta at home, or the same page maybe also has a good ranking for making pasta. And all these different search queries in the end have the same intention, but not all pages who rank for one term are ranking for all the other terms too, because only the pages that are more holistic, that kind of cover a topic a little bit broader and better, these pages have a good performance. And this is what I mean with search insights. If you reverse engineer, let's say, the DNA of successful pages, yeah, you can use this DNA for your own content, and then you can kind of produce better content and kind of just get more traffic.
Can you give us any techniques, Marcus? Because that sounds really nice. I love it, a bit coming from a semi-medical background. I love the idea of reverse engineering the DNA of a page. Have you got any sort of insights? Sorry, overuse of the word insights there. Have you got any sort of techniques that you can use to do that?
Sure. I mean, of course, I always have this more like technological view, because, I mean, we are building a software because we believe we can solve problems with it. But if you are just someone who has no access to any technology, what I would suggest is pick the topic that you'd like to become successful for, mm-hmm, and just take a look on the pages with the best rankings. So in the recipe space, very likely it's someone like thekitchen.com. And if you look at the article that ranks well for that page, just look what they use, how many text they have, how often they use large images. Yeah. Are they also using like Pinterest to pin the images? Because Pinterest is actually also very successful in capturing search engine traffic from Google because they rank well. That means you can double the effect, because if you rank well and the Pinterest page with your images on it ranks well, then you have the chance to get also the traffic from Pinterest. So it's a double effect. Mm. And then you also should look on, because if a page with a good ranking, if they use, for example, like an image gallery instead of just one image and text, then you know, okay, the user intention is very likely that they want to see an image gallery. So one example would be if you search for hairstyles. And if you search for hairstyles, it's very unlikely that people want to read a long text. No, they want to see images. And this is what everybody on its own can do at home. Like if you analyze like the DNA of successful pages and looking at the page, the content, the media that they use, how the content is structured, you can use this as the foundation. It doesn't mean just do the same. That would be stupid, because it's just the same. But think about it, because then you can learn a lot of stuff about the user intention. And if you use Searchmetrics, of course, you can automate a lot of these things. But everybody who has enough time can just do it manually at home.
Tell us a little bit about what the tools that you've got there at Searchmetrics do. I'm giving you permission to do a bit of advertising here, Marcus.
I mean, I'm not a sales guy, right? So I always try to explain why we are doing stuff, yeah, not just that we have nice interface and so on. So I think, and because we talk about content, I have to mention that we just built a new software called Searchmetrics Content Experience Suite. This is targeted to all the people who create content, who create content strategies. And the reason why we did this is because there's a huge paradigm, and this paradigm in the publishing world is known as publish and forget. So there's a lot of content created new every day and every day and every day, and then it's never touched again. And the problem is that a lot of content that's created could be actually evergreen content, but this content is never touched again. So, I mean, in the past, it was very successful. I mean, take examples like about.com or ehow.com. So these pages, they created, or these websites created a lot of different content pages for each different query that the people made within Google. So it was really kind of for the same topic. They created hundreds or even thousands of pages. But the new reality is that if you have already content and you are able to update the content, first thing is you use what you already have, because if you have a page that has already backlinks, so you got authority, you have internal links, this page has credibility also within Google. If you make this page better, the chances to increase your rankings to be better are much higher than creating new content, because when you create new content, you also have an internal cannibalization. So different pages, they will fight for the user attention and the rankings. And what we do with the software is we give you a lot of ideas how content or how topics are related. We also tell you if you have already a page in a certain space, you can, so you can update the page. We also give you ideas where you do not have content yet. So this is really a software that helps you with the whole process from ideation to creation. So it's pretty exciting. It's pretty new, because the most used tool to create content is Word, and Microsoft Word is not actually data driven. So it's for the creative people, of course, but I mean, how can you be creative if you just have a blank sheet and you have to research the rest? Because what people do when they create content, they go on Google and they research background information. They go on Wikipedia and research stuff. They use a question tool to research questions. So what do people really ask about a certain topic? And all of this is a big block of time for the content creation itself. And this can be saved because, I mean, all these sources can be kind of captured in a single summary of a topic. And then the content creation itself can also happen in the same software at the same time. So the content strategist has full transparency on the created content, because often, and maybe you have the same feeling, is when companies create content, the more people that are involved, the minimalism of the information, what kind of content should be created, gets even more minimal. And I know companies that, for example, because they are large companies with hundreds of writers, the only information they give their writer is just one keyword and the length. And imagine I send you a keyword like how to make pasta, 500 words. That's it. I mean, that's not really cool to create a good content, right? And this is where we try to kind of bring a lot of insights into that game. It's not simple, because, I mean, using Word and then using a technology that guides you through a whole process is a little bit different. But the insights we got, and we also did some case studies with existing companies, and we actually really updated content, and we could completely prove that with the updated content, the performance was much better afterwards than before. And that makes sense, because for the user, it's a benefit, and the time that you invest is even less than creating a new content.
So Marcus, you mentioned evergreen content there, which is something I'm very interested in. I mean, it really does sound like sort of a data-led approach, as you mentioned earlier, can help with evergreen, can't it?
Yes. I mean, I think it needs to be a data-led approach, because when you are a site and you have hundreds, thousands, or even more existing content pieces, the problem is that it's very hard for you to get a better understanding of, okay, what do I have? What kind of potential do I have? Is the content outdated or is it still fresh? So it's kind of complicated, because you need a lot of different data points. And when you don't have a data-led approach, it could happen that you need a lot of time to kind of read through everything that you have, because I mean, it's easy to search for the stuff that you have, right? I mean, you can just even use Google for it. Use the site parameter and then you just search for the different topic and Google gives you the most relevant page. So that's not the problem. The problem is finding which page is the most relevant at the moment. And I believe because of this complexity, most companies don't do it. I mean, I mentioned publish and forget. That's common. I mean, almost everybody is not really touching existing content. And the companies who do, I mean, companies like Wayfair, they're actually very successful through good content marketing. They increase their online visibility really week by week by week, because they understood this paradigm. And I mean, how do you do it with what kind of data you use? It depends, right? I mean, you can do it fully with Google Analytics, Google Webmaster Tools. You can use Search Metrics. You can use other tools. So it's completely free, but it should be data driven, because data gives you a better foundation to make a decision.
Now, I know one of the tools that you got, this content experience solution, I think you mentioned it before. If not, doesn't really matter. I'm just wondering if you could give us some more insights and examples from that tool.
Sure, of course. I mean, what we try to solve is that gap between you have an idea in a company or you got the task to create content through the creation, the publishing, and the measurement. Because this is actually a real cycle. And our software, the Content Experience Suite, tries to kind of fully captures this whole cycle and kind of gives you all the insights and also like a whole guide to go through that content creation process. And it's because it's new, people have to adopt. I mean, it's not like using Microsoft Word. It's a little bit different. Mm. But it's data-driven and the whole guided process. And everybody who sees it is very excited yet. So that's important.
I'm trying to imagine what it looks like. Is it like a sort of, is it a bit like sort of writing an article in Word, but it's sort of giving you sort of like hints and things as you go along? Is that how it works?
Yes and no. So it's split in two different parts. Yeah. One part is the part for the content strategist. This is where the content strategist defines the strategy. And it always starts with an idea. The idea could be just a keyword or could be many keywords, could be a topic. So if you put in something like how to make pasta, what we do is out of our index with a couple hundred million keyword queries, we give you all the relationships to this existing topic. So within seconds, you see what other people are searching as well. What is the user intention? We also have, based on deep learning, a classification if a keyword is, the intention is transactional, informational, or branded search. Mm. So you can see very quickly, because if you are a magazine, it's very unlikely that you can capture a lot of transactional intent because you are not selling anything. So you are more looking for the informational intent because this is your business. Or if you are an Amazon, like an e-commerce player, of course you are more interested in the transactional intent. So this is really platform for this content strategist. And the other part is for the editor, it's actually really like Word. You can type, but in real time, we validate your content. If you cover the user intention, we give you insights, like if you want to kind of become relevant for how to make pasta, we also tell you you should use something like spaghetti or you should use something like tagliatelle, so pasta types. And we also have a compliance check in the background. So we all crawl all the existing pages for the topic and we look, for example, if there's any duplication of your content to what's already existing. So that's actually pretty neat because especially when you work with external writers, so with freelancers or text agencies, it might happen that they copy content from somewhere else. Then you see at the same time if there's content copied or not. So that's actually pretty cool.
Sounds really good. All this talk of pasta is actually making me hungry. I want my lunch now.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Marcus. Let's finish off. Tell our listeners how they can find out more about you and more about Search Metrics.
But it's simple. I mean, I definitely suggest to follow us on Twitter. So it's @searchmetrics and the website is searchmetrics.com. And if you want to follow me because I have my own Twitter account, I have some insights every week. I publish some insights that it's @MarcusTober and I highly recommend to follow us.
Fantastic. Thanks for listening, everyone. The show notes are in the normal place, sitevisibility.com/IMpodcast. If you want to leave a question or a comment, but mainly questions, the email is podcast@sitevisibility.com. And the magic phone number, if you want to leave a question, questions would be good on here, +44 1273 256 150. And you could end up being played on the show. So that's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Marcus.
No, I was very excited. It was a really good interview or podcast. Thank you, Andy.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.